The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth.
It's been another terrorist attack in London, England this morning. They're, 8 hours ahead of us. So they were hit during rush hour. And fortunately, it looks like a bullet has been dodged here. Jason Buttrell joins us to talk about this. Jason, what are the details on this? It looks pretty amateurish, doesn't it?
Big time amateurish. So 22 injured, no deaths. The bomb they used, the initial detonator went off, and that's what caused all the injuries. But the actual explosion did not go off. So to me, it says that they're probably getting this out of a magazine, which lo and behold, last month, Al-Qaeda's Inspire magazine did call for train attacks. They said to hit them inside the trains. They said it's better to hit the rail, or you can also hit the gathering area, you know, where they do the pre-check security and all that stuff.
Right.
You can hit any of those areas. And which is actually even more significant is the heir apparent to Osama bin Laden, Hamza bin Laden, the son. One of his sons.
My third favorite Bin Laden, by the way. Third.
He's only third on your list?
Yeah, yeah. Really? I had him second for a while, but Terry Bin Laden passed him last month.
I like Tito, Marlon, and Jermaine Bin Laden.
Really?
Those
are fantastic.
Yeah, they're in my top five for sure.
Well, he is number one as far as Al-Qaeda, and so he's being groomed to take over Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, a.k.a. AP. Which is in
AQAP,
Yemen.
Yeah. Can we stop for a moment and just focus on the idea that they first of all, Al-Qaeda has a magazine,
yeah,
and then it's called Inspire. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. And also, could we suggest maybe they do a swimsuit edition instead of bomb-making editions? It's a lot more fun.
Yeah. And the propaganda goes way beyond even the magazine. So this is pretty much the equivalent of a University of Phoenix for terrorists. Pretty much.
Oh, really?
Really? There's an entire internet-based tutorial, curriculum for this stuff. And that's how they're training some of these amateurs. This attack, and I was looking at the pictures of the device, which is not entirely smart. I wish they wouldn't put out the pictures of the device directly after an attack. Because if the people didn't know how to build these bombs, well, now you know how to do it because it shows. All the way down to the detonator used in this attack, which is, I'm actually looking at the TV right now, were Christmas lights. The Christmas lights were the detonator.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Christmas lights were detonator, and that is taken straight out of the magazine. I would not be surprised at all if Al-Qaeda takes responsibility for this soon. It could have been any group, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if they do take responsibility for this.
Al-Qaeda does seem to be, they're just not the trendy terrorist group anymore.
Right.
Right? Like, we have ISIS, and AQAP has been around, and they've had a good run here. But I feel like the Al-Qaeda brand is suffering.
They're like the JV team now,
don't they? That's right.
ISIS brand is slipping now, too, though. I don't know. Who's up now? Number one?
I know. Hopefully nobody. Yeah. But yeah, ISIS still,
The thing with ISIS is that the more territory they lose, the dangerous they're going to get internationally. So they're actually being told now not to go to Syria. They're being told if you have to go somewhere and fight, like with an AK-47, they're telling them to go to the Philippines, which is kind of crazy.
Wow.
They're telling them to go to the Philippines, which that standoff is still going on, by the way. ISIS is holding their ground. They still own territory in the Philippines. Duterte can't kick them out yet, which is just amazing.
Amazing, because he just will kill drug dealers if you.
Yeah,
suspected.
He's already killed almost 4,000 people just because he thought they were drug dealers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Bizarre. And then also we have the situation with North Korea. Another missile fired. Third one since we got all the tough talk started against them.
And the second one that has flown over Japan. So this was the missile went.
Was this high enough again to not be in their airspace? Because that's kind of the way they're getting around this thing. Otherwise, it's an act of war. If it's shot into their airspace, then that can definitely be considered an act of war. And they seem to be avoiding that. Did they do that this time?
I believe so. If it would have been in their airspace, they could have shot that down. And we didn't even attempt to shoot that down.
Yeah.
So but that could be coming soon. Really, and this and specifically these attacks, they fly. This one that flew over Japan, you think about it. Think about how that feels. So, they said that instantly they did the bomb sirens and everything, air raid sirens. Everyone had to hunker down and shelter in place.
Yeah.
And these bombs, think about, they don't have to land on Japan. They could do a flyover, detonate above Japan, and the EMP would take out pretty much the entire island of Japan.
It's very, very similar to an experience in my youth. When I was young, me and my friend used to walk from house to house, and on the way we'd have a pass with a football, and when cars would come, we would throw them over the cars.
Right.
And then every once in a while, we'd get the it would be too low. We'd just try to see how low we could get without them slamming on the brakes and chasing us. And then every once in a while, we'd try to get it lower and lower, and one of us would bounce the football off of the window or the roof.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Don't try this at home. But this is what happens. This is how nuclear war begins, with footballs going over cars, but they go over too low. Just remember that. If Kim Jong-un is listening right now, remember that principle, because that's a lesson I think we can all...
Low enough, Kim. Yeah. Low enough.
Because it's bizarre. Can you imagine, especially, you know, a place like Japan, who's dealt with large weapons going off in its territory, where you're getting air raid sirens, you're getting shelter-in-place warnings. You are in the middle of your day, walking outside and to your car, and all of a sudden you have one of these things happen. You don't know if it's the end of your life. You don't know if the entire society is going to be there tomorrow, or if it's just going to harmlessly fall in the water like it usually does.
And the threat is very real. Those are the places, like the United States mainland is probably not going to get hit at this point. I mean, they could fire off and shoot a Hail Mary and try and hit us. But the primary targets right now are Japan, not South Korea for a nuclear weapon, but Guam. And what's interesting is this missile went 3,700 kilometers over Japan.
No one knows how far that is. We can't know how far a kilometer is. So that could have gone to the moon, or it could have gone a block and a half from where it was launched. Nobody knows. Speak American. How far is that?
2,300 miles.
Okay. Now we know
exactly how far it is.
And how far is Guam? Miles. Isn't Guam 2,400?
Yeah, it's just a couple of hundred kilometers or
miles.
A couple hundred miles.
Speak American.
About 150 miles or so.
No one understands metric, Jason. No one understands it.
So the range was very, very similar. So this could have been interpreted as a direct attack on both our main assets in that area, Japan and Guam.
I read that the metric system is just like they just make it up as they go. Like
if
a meter one day it's 20 feet, one day it's 1,000 feet, one day it's an inch. Like they just, every day it's different. That's how I understand it.
How Americans understand it, and that's why we dropped the whole thing. Okay, we're switching over to what the rest of the world is doing. Okay, no, we're not. That was too hard. We don't get it.
And you know, somehow, even though he ran on this a huge platform, Lincoln Chafee did not win the Democratic nomination in 2016. Right. I don't know how that happened.
The system was his deal.
That was his big deal.
Yeah.
It is the only thing he's known for in his campaign. The guy runs for president on the metric system in 2016.
We will switch over to the metric system. Yeah, we don't even want to hear from you.
Even the Democrats were like, get out now. Don't bring your, take your centimeters with you.
That is one thing we have unity on in this country.
Yes.
We don't want the freaking metric system.
All right, Jason. Thanks, man.
Before you go, what is the answer in your mind to these continual provocations from North Korea? Do we do something preemptively, or do we just wait until something really happens?
We know what they want. We know that there's a back channel negotiations going on between China, Russia, North Korea, and us. Now, what we know from what's leaked, what they want. North Korea wants us to scale down our forces in South Korea. They want us to stop. And they want us to stop all military exercises with South Korea. And China and Russia have been saying that is what will get North Korea to step back and give up their nuclear program. Now, will we do that? Probably not. Is that good for us actually in the future? Yeah, probably, actually.
Yeah, I think it would be.
Yeah.
We need to step back.
I'm completely fine with that.
We have an ally in the Pacific that could take that over, Japan. They have a stronger navy than China. It's way beyond time for them to step up. Why haven't they taken over? We've been granting their security since the end of World War II.
Yeah.
Why? Germany has been pretty much on their own since, what, the 50s or something?
And the
like
other
that?
Thing is, the other ally we have in that region is, I don't know, South Korea, who has a massive army. It's the fourth largest army in the world. Why can't they take care of themselves, or at least carry more of the load?
It's a good point. At the exact same time that the missile was flying over Japan, South Korea fired off two missiles in response. I haven't seen that being reported as much, but they fired off missiles into the Pacific Ocean. And it was the same range from South Korea to where they launched the missiles just outside of Pyongyang. So they were saying, okay, we can hit your mobile spots. That's what they were saying.
Wow, really dangerous situation.
Very.
Really dangerous. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Jason.
You bet.
So I don't know what you do about this. I guess you just continue through diplomatic channels, huh? Just through back channels, because you certainly don't want war.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like any of these things are going to do much but potentially slow these things down. Like, I mean, you can pass your sanctions, you can implement them. I mean, it looks like China is resisting new sanctions after this. You know, they just start doing the, well, we denounce it, but yeah, we're not going to do anything about it. So, there, you know, it doesn't seem like there's anything, you know, incredibly serious there.
Is there anything left we can hold back from them? Okay, now we're gonna not even going to send you Velcro. You can't even have that now. We don't they already have nothing?
They already have nothing. Country? Right. Well, they get fuel. Oil is a big deal there, getting it from particularly China. They get a lot of coal from China. So it's funny, this internal insular communist state still needs to trade with other countries to, you know, keep it running. So you'd think potentially there'd be some hope there to be able to cut it off. But when they're trading with countries like China and they don't really, you know, they're not stepping up in a big way.
888-727-BECK. More of the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Stu coming up.
Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Pat Stewart, Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. He'll be back on Monday. You guys talked a little bit yesterday about Ben Shapiro at UC Berkeley.
Yeah.
It was quite a panicky situation for UC Berkeley because Ben Shapiro, who actually speaks and speaks calmly and speaks with reason.
Bastard.
And as far as I know, came unarmed. And didn't have bodyguards with him, but he came to the campus and it was so upsetting that they had to close campus for in some parts of the camp. They shut down some classes. They sent some kids home because they couldn't handle it. I mean,
yeah, the tweet I think from the LA Times was Berkeley braces for the speech from Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, braces.
Braces? What the hell?
Yeah.
He's talking.
He killed 19 students last night.
No,
with his
he didn't.
Bare words.
He killed zero
Another
students.
Another 46 were injured when he spoke the phrase freedom of speech.
No, none of that happened.
Dozens are now recuperating in a safe space.
Oh, good. Well, that's
so
good.
pretty amazing that they were in such a panic over a conservative coming to the campus to speak. He wasn't coming to kill.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's not like Ben Shapiro's, you know, The Rock either. I mean, he's like, you know, I don't think he's
He's fine.
He's great. You know,
but
I love Ben.
He's not exactly a beast.
Right. He's not going to come in here and like, it's not a Rambo is not appearing. You know, I mean, if he's coming in there, he's saying some words. You should be able to handle this. They actually built a wall around certain areas. As Ben, I think, noted, Berkeley was able to build a wall before Donald Trump, which was a solid line.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's such a weird thing. You know, obviously they're not bracing for Ben Shapiro's appearance, not his speech. They're bracing for the violence that comes from Antifa anytime anyone says they want lower taxes or they don't want to kill babies in the womb.
Yeah.
Like this bizarre, crazy action by a conservative to say that maybe the government should be smaller instead of bigger. Well, of course that's going to get, it's like they act as if it's this, this unavoidable consequence of a conservative speaking. You throw a football up in the air and it comes down sometimes on a car. But you throw a ball up in the air, gravity brings it down. That's a rule. It's happening every single time. A conservative speaks. Obviously, there's going to be violence. There's nothing we can do about that. It's just the expected response when anyone says something, like they want a smaller government. That's completely unacceptable. How a society can embrace that as a standard is it's inexcusable. It's inexcusable. And it's we're at that point now where Antifa is basically saying, yes, that's what we're doing. We are being violent. It's the only way that this is going
to
happen.
Listen to this report. Thankfully, some people in the media are doing their job. And here's a report on Antifa, who is doubling down on their claims that violence is fine.
Welcome back to The Lead, the national lead now. By most accounts, almost all of the people protesting against the hateful bigots, the Nazis and Klansmen in Charlottesville, were peaceful. But not all of them. In their midst was a sometimes very violent group of protesters that call themselves Antifa.
I'm sorry. Isn't that essentially what President Donald Trump said the day after the event, that, you know, some of them were violent too.
Yeah.
And that all hell broke loose.
On both sides.
On both sides. And now even the media is admitting that. Granted, this is Jake Tapper, and he's probably the only one. But no, even the media.
Yeah, I mean, even Nancy Pelosi came out against Antifa. It's starting to happen now. They're losing whatever momentum they had because they're obviously crazy people.
Right.
And this should have happened on day one, just like with Trump. They complained about with Trump. He should have come out and called out the KKK right at the beginning.
Yes.
What about the media? They should have called out Antifa right at the beginning. It
exactly
was obvious
right.
They were a violent group and a terrible group. And they waited and waited and waited and waited. And I'm glad they're doing it now. And Tapper, I think, was on the right part of that pretty early as well. But a lot of the media waited.
Yeah. Known to not only clash with bigots, but also sometimes with police and occasionally storefronts.
Yep.
At least two journalists in Virginia were assaulted by violent counter-protesters over the weekend, including this cameraman from the Richmond CBS affiliate. CNN's Sarah Gannon now takes us inside Antifa and shows us this group like you've never seen it before.
It's 6 a.m. in Portland, Oregon, and we're headed to a bar with blacked-out windows.
They wanted to meet us really early in the morning because they're concerned about a lot of people being around.
We are meeting members of the Rose City Antifa, short for anti-fascist. This group's main goal is to disrupt neo-Nazis and white supremacists.
No, it's not.
Also take on government and capitalism.
There you go.
Antifa is any group that's willing to stand up against fascists by any means necessary.
Okay.
By any means necessary, they say, can mean outing a white nationalist at their work or to their neighbors. Or, as we've seen recently, violence, fires, property damage, hand-to-hand combat at protests across the country.
Explain to me the reasoning behind fighting.
You have to make it so unpalatable to be doing white supremacist organizing that they no longer want to do that. And historically, that's what's worked. You have to put your body in the way, and you have to make it speak in a language that they understand, and sometimes that is violence.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
There's no firm number on how many Antifa activists there are in the U.S. because there isn't any one organization. Most are local groups that recruit and communicate through social media.
So,
and they're cowards. And they're cowards that wear masks and hide their identity and show up in huge numbers and pick on other small numbers of people. They're cowards and they're anti-capitalists. Don't kid yourself that they're there just fighting against Nazis and white supremacists. There's just not that many of them around. How many white nationalist white supremacist protests have there been?
Remember they had the Charlottesville one and then the Boston one happened right after that?
Yeah.
And I saw some reports that there weren't actually any Nazis at the Boston one. Like an anti-Nazi rally where the Nazis didn't show.
Yeah, we weren't there. They weren't there.
It's kind of weird.
We didn't show up because, we don't exist in that city.
But it's funny because, I mean, you listen to that report, and why is that report important? It's not important because they're telling you that Antifa is violent. We all know that. We all know every piece of information in that report. Why it's important is because the media is actually calling it out and pointing
finally
it out. It's important that they're doing that. And, you know, look, it took too long, I agree, from most sources, but at least it's happening. At least, you know, that's now being noted by the media. And, you know, it's tough. When the left gives cover to these groups, they get more and more bold. And, you know, as horrible as Nancy Pelosi is and as horrible as she's been over her career and life in public service, you know, her calling out Antifa was actually a pretty big moment. You know, her saying that they were a terrible group and actually calling them out is a big deal to the crazy people on the far left.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised she did.
I was too.
I was actually, you know, and good for her.
Yep.
We should give credit where credit's due. Good for her for actually doing that.
I love that word. Good for her, by the way, for denouncing the terrorist group.
Yes.
That was nice of her. That was a good job. We expect so little. The bar has been set so low in this country.
There's no question.
We're just like,
there's no
please
question.
Clear it.
Oh,
just
thank you for condemning anarchists that are beating people and setting fires and breaking windows in storefronts. More of the Glenn Beck program coming up.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck program.
Pat and Stu for Glenn. we were just talking about Nancy Pelosi and giving her some credit, actually, paying credit where credit was due. However, there's plenty of Nancy Pelosi to criticize, and she was just talking about the Dreamers. For some reason, the Dreamers, as I said last week, the Dreamers are like magical creatures. They're like unicorns. Mm. They're like they've descended from heaven to grace us with their presence. The way they're spoken about, yeah, it's amazing.
What suckers we are.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they name it the Dream Act.
Yeah.
Right? Which is already obviously ridiculous. And then for some reason, we just allow the term they're called to be Dreamers.
I hate that we do that, and we do it all the time. We just let it slide. Yeah. We just let them control the language. Mm-hmm. And many of them, probably most of them, are wonderful people.
Of course.
Okay? But, you know, most Americans are wonderful people. But there's some scumbags in there, too.
Yeah. There's laws that we have that to control behavior. Yeah. I mean, this is a pretty... Yeah. Standard thing government does. If you're doing something illegal, you get punished for it.
But here's Nancy Pelosi talking about the unicorns.
It's an honor to be here with the Dreamers. The Dreamers who are advancing the American dream.
The American
with
dream.
Their courage and their optimism. Mm-hmm.
Heroism.
Inspiration. They make America more American.
They even make America more American, even though they're not American. Wow, that's incredible. That's really incredible. That's great.
So a week and a half ago, I was in Chicago, and I saw this art exhibit that I was invited to see. Mm-hmm. It's called, And Then They Came For Me.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
And
don't
it's go about there. Oh, the internment of the Japanese-American.
We should be clear here. It is completely okay for someone on the left to compare anything to Nazis.
Absolutely.
Have we heard more word
no
one from the ADL
whatsoever.
On this?
Nope.
Because I know every time Glenn brings up a story that mentions Nazis and it's tied to the news in any way, we get the press release from the ADL about how we should not demean the Holocaust and make sure. Of course, he's not demeaning the Holocaust. He is actually warning that we want to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Any part of you compare anything to anything that's ever, you compare something to a BMW and the ADL does a press release against us. And here is Nancy Pelosi, who's basically saying, hey, you know, this group, this political thing I want to get past is basically Nazism. Yeah. Does anyone say a thing? No.
Patriots in our country who were interned into camps during World War II.
Yeah. By the way, who did that, Nancy? Yeah. Your hero, FDR. That's who did that.
The person she'd probably say was the best president ever.
No question.
While their family members were fighting for freedom, for America, and for the world in World War II.
This is despicable. Because if I were Japanese American, I'd be so pissed off that she's comparing me, a U.S. citizen, a U.S. citizen who's done nothing wrong and committed no crime, being put in a concentration camp, to these people who are here illegally, and nobody's rounding them up to put them in concentration camps. Even if they're caught, they're just going home. We're going to send them home. Well, that's what E.T. screamed about for 2 hours back in 1980.
Yeah.
Nobody cared about that.
It's true. I mean,
we're just sending them home. So,
like, obviously, as we've talked about, it's a tough one, because if you came here 3 years old, to you, this is home, right? That doesn't mean that legally it's your home.
Yes.
But to you, yes. I can see how that would, and I can
but
understand.
I've seen a lot of these Dreamers who don't even like it here.
Yeah, no, it's very true, first of all.
Holding signs that are anti-American, carrying Mexican flags, talking trash about the country.
Yeah.
And not all of them do that, but I've seen a good number of them doing that.
And we have to remember there are two sides to this equation. The left always says, and seemingly now a lot of people on the right say, we can't punish them for the crimes of their parents. The question, though, is should we also reward them for the crimes of their parents?
Exactly right.
And it's a tough line. I understand that is a difficult issue, but the idea that...
It's also not the issue we should be dealing with first.
No.
I mean, this can wait. We can push this down the road just a little bit. Secure the border.
Yep.
By all that is holy, we've been begging for this for 30 years. Secure the border.
And we're out at the point where's even the opposition to this stuff? You have the left, who's always wanted it. The president of the United States, who ran on a platform to say, absolutely, we're getting rid of DACA on day one. These people should not be here. They have to go home, even though it's sad. And now is saying, look,
the opposite.
Hey, Republicans in Congress, you better pass that Dream Act or something similar to it, or I'm just going to do it myself.
And he tweeted out three times yesterday. One of them was like, are we really going to send these people home who've been here for so long that have contributed so much? Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess, because that's what you said all during the campaign. Yeah.
Well, during the campaign, he didn't realize that they made America more American.
That's true. So, that's
and now
true.
He does.
Now he does.
Now he does. That's a good point.
That's an amazing thing, though. I mean,
it is.
You're right. Like, are you really going to take these people, some of them that serve in the military, are you really going to get rid of them? Well, I mean, that's from you. That's just a strange thing. You got elected because you were tough on this issue, mm-hmm. right? It's easy to say, hey, you know, look, I feel bad for these people, so we should break the law to allow them to stay. Right? Like, it's easy. Let's pass the law and give them, and that is absolutely amnesty. I don't see how you could possibly argue it's not. Now, it's like they are doing something that is illegal, and you are going to reward them. It's not even amnesty. It's better than amnesty. You're getting a reward, and there have been talks of citizenship, and that has come out. But I mean, the strangest thing about this debate is unlike any other crime, unlike any other illegal action, we think that if you've done it longer, that makes it better.
It makes it much better.
Like, if you were like...
It's much better.
If you're,
well, they've been breaking the law for 20 years.
We can't stop them now. This is their way of life.
They can't be punished now. They've been doing it for 20 years.
I mean, if they had only been doing it for 2 weeks, of course we could punish them. But they've been doing it for 20 years.
Stu's been stealing from the company for 20 years. We can't let him go now.
And it's his way of life. And it's like, and they get to that point of like, you know, it's like, Stu's stealing from the company for 20 years. Well, it's his way of life. It's the way he does things. It's the only thing he's known. Of course you should let him keep stealing from the company. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Maybe not, okay? But then they'll go, well, Stu's done a lot of really good things for the company. Mm-hmm. Stu closed that deal with that firm, and it worked out really well for us. He was still stealing from the company.
Yes.
I should not be allowed to continue to steal from the company. That is, I don't know, the overall principle here. And I know feelings get in the way here. I know the feelings are feeling people, and they're making them all feely.
Mm-hmm.
The feelings are a big issue here, and I know law has a ton to do with feelings. I know there's a part in the Constitution, the Feelings Clause, that outlines this.
There actually isn't, but okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. And the other part of this is, don't kid yourself on the 800,000 getting amnesty and then that's the end of it.
Of
because their parents will also receive the amnesty.
Yes.
You can't separate families. That's all we'll hear is, okay, we got these 800,000
kids. They've already
laid
that groundwork.
Now you can't send their parents home. We gotta give them amnesty too. And what about their aunts and uncles and cousins? It's going to be a blanket amnesty for 20 million illegal aliens. That's what's going to come.
Eventually, yes.
We'll eventually.
I mean,
and it won't take long.
Think about that. Let's say you propose this deal to the left right now and you said, you know what? Okay, a parent comes over, brings their 3-year-old 20 years ago. The kid's now 23, never had, or, you know, is an adult, is a productive member of society, didn't even know they were illegal until 3 years ago, and are still staying here. Never even been to Mexico, right? The perfect case that they would present for the Dreamers. If you went to them right now and said, you know what, the Dreamers can stay, I get it, but their parents have to go home. In fact, the parents can never come back because they broke the law for 20 years and we'll be, you know, look, I understand it's a weird situation with the kids because they didn't choose to come here. So, okay, we'll allow them to stay, but the parents go home, all of them, and they never come back. And if they come back, the kid goes too. That's it.
They would never accept that.
They would never accept that, Bill.
You can't separate families.
Right. A 23-year-old kid, you're supposed to be separate from your family when you're 23. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to move out and go away. That is what's supposed to happen.
Also, when you break the law, a lot of times Americans will be separated from their families. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, like Jeffy's been separated from his family a lot of times.
I am aware of that.
Although we should cut some slack to Nancy, as we talked about 10, 15 minutes ago, because something's wrong with her. I think something's wrong with her. Legitimately.
It's possible.
I'm not being facetious.
In this last year.
She's got some issues.
Yes, she does.
Listen, she was trying to talk about, explain to me who Lin-Manuel Miranda is.
He is the guy who wrote Hamilton.
Right, that's right.
The play. He also wrote several songs for the Moana soundtrack.
Okay.
Animated.
Those are pretty good, actually. Have you seen Moana?
I've seen Moana. Only 315,000.
Is that a big one?
Yes,
to the kids. I'm not quite that many, but a few.
Yeah. A couple drinks and a karaoke Moana thing comes out, I'm in. I could do that. I could pull that off without looking at the words.
So she's trying to talk about Lin-Manuel Miranda. Listen to this.
Lin-Manuel Miranda. Lin-Manuel Miranda is the great creative talent
Lin-Manuel Miranda took the story of our founding and imbued it with a fresh life and infectious spirit. Lin-Manuel, I am truly, truly convinced we celebrate Lin-Manuel Miranda, a man gifted by the muse of history. Thank you, Lin-Manuel. Thank you, Lin-Manuel Madonna.
Madonna? Wait, so that was...
his name became Madonna at the end.
Madonna,
I think it was Madonna at the end.
What is happening there?
I don't know.
See, there could be something wrong with her. It could also...
She could be on some kind of medication.
Yeah. There's been talk that she's possible that she's been drinking and there's medication and it's too much Botox. But really, I haven't heard anyone mention that it's possible that she's got a denture issue.
A denture issue.
Now,
that's the kind of deep analysis that you won't find anywhere else.
No. I'm just saying it's possible.
Right? Is that because you've had this experience with yours?
I mean, dentures slip, glue them in, right?
Okay. And then so then you can't say Lin-Manuel Miranda.
It's like they took the name Lin-Manuel Miranda and put it in a blender and it's just like coming out in a bizarre order. It just became a Lin-Manuel Miranda smoothie. And it's you don't know what order any of the letters are coming out in. Give it time. It's a weird, you're right though. I am worried because this has happened a lot with her.
It's weird. Yes, it has.
And you hope it's not really something.
You do hope. Yes.
Hopefully exactly. It is. A denture issue.
That's the best case scenario here, right? 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck.
You know what's great? Is Medicare for all. Single payer, that was evil. But Medicare for all, that's totally different.
Medicare is a single payer program, so it wouldn't be.
Well, yeah,
different.
I mean, it's the same exact program, but it's a completely different name. People didn't like the name single payer, but they love Medicare for all because that sounds really good.
Well, that's like...
Why shouldn't everybody have... We've already got a Medicare program. Let's just expand it for everybody.
But Medicare's like Kleenex. Mm-hmm. And single payer is like tissue, so people would say, Kleenex and tissue. Kleenex is a brand of tissues. Medicare is a brand of single payer.
Huh.
It's the same
thing.
I don't even
understand the words that are coming. Are you speaking English? No, I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm speaking in the metric system. That's why you can't understand it.
Bernie Sanders introduced it yesterday.
Here's my Republican colleagues. Mm-hmm. Please don't lecture us. No. On health care.
But you're going to lecture us.
Yes, he's going to. Yes.
In the last few months, you, the Republican Party, have shown the American people
what you stand for
when you voted for legislation that would throw up to 32 million Americans off of the health insurance they have. And at the same time, give huge tax breaks to the rich large corporations.
Complete lies. Complete lies.
Yeah.
First of all, it doesn't throw anybody off any list. And that what it does do is take away the mandate. So if you don't want to get health care, you don't have to.
So you would choose to say,
you know what?
I'd rather not have it.
Yeah.
And the alternate to that is you pay a fine and get nothing.
Right. That used to be called America.
That's what they're saying is a good thing.
Yes.
Is that you would spend your own money and pay a fine to get nothing. That is the alternative there. And they're like, oh, we should have that system. That's much better than the people get to choose what to do with their own money thing.
And the huge tax cut for the rich there is that the rich don't have that extra 4% tax that's included in Obamacare. And that's a huge tax break they're getting.
You, the Republican Party, have no credibility on the issue of health care. Today, we say the function of a rational health care system is to provide quality care to all in a cost-effective way. While depending on your income, your taxes may go up to pay for this publicly funded program, that expense will be more than offset by the money you are saving by the elimination of private insurance costs.
There's just not one word of truth in any of that.
No.
In any of it. And he knows it. I mean, 30 years ago, he was singing a different tune about Medicare for all.
Yeah, you want to hear this clip? This is from 1987.
Do that, for example, if we expanded Medicaid to everybody, right? Give everybody a Medicaid card. We would be spending such an astronomical sum of money that, we would bankrupt the nation.
Wow.
We would bankrupt the nation.
The nation. Okay, but now that the nation is much, much larger than it was 30 years ago, we probably have 100 million more people than we did 30 years ago. Now it won't bankrupt the nation. Now it's affordable for the nation. Now we're going to be great if we have Medicaid for all.
Also, Bernie Sanders was always crazy liberal, and he was always really quirky and weird. Why did he become such a jerk? Like, yeah, he, the way know. He talks these days, he's so angry.
Yeah.
And I guess, I don't know, I always saw it as so, him more as just like old and quirky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he really just seems like he's a jerk.
Yes, he does.
I mean,
yes, he does.
That's a really, I mean, very maybe angry. I shouldn't be surprised by that, but his attitude is very odd about this stuff. He's just really nasty. And it's not, I guess that shouldn't be surprised. He connected so well with the far left.
Yes.
I mean, he's, I guess he's their candidate.
Yeah. All right. 888-727-BECK 888-727-BECK. It's Pat, Stu, and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck. Love, courage, truth.
Boys are back in town. We got the band back together for a day. Pat, Stu, and Jeffy. For Glenn, who's back on Monday. 888-727-BECK.
So there's a black man who's actually white who's on the internet, Sean King. Now, he says he's a black guy, but he's mm-hmm. actually a white guy.
And it's been well proven
mm-hmm.
that both his parents are white.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless two white people gave birth to a black person, which doesn't usually happen.
That's not typical.
It's not typical. Mm-hmm. It's not.
We can understand differences here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of guys we are.
We're inclusive. Mm-hmm. We're diverse.
We sure are. So there's a controversy between Sean King and America's team, the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, the Eagles, not everyone calls them that.
In fact, no one calls them that but you.
It's true. I also call the Toronto Blue Jays America's team,
yes,
so I'm not particularly good at that.
Yeah.
But so there is a story on Philly.com talking about the Kaepernick thing. Okay, mm-hmm. we're in NFL season again.
I'm so tired of the Kaepernick.
I am too. And I'm. But it's amazing how this thing keeps popping up. And I am. I will say at least like I'd rather talk about football than being nuked by North Korea.
Yes.
Or terrorist attacks or killer hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to be back in the football.
So this
world.
Was on Philly.com?
Philly.com.
I must have missed it because I usually go. I mean, Philly.com is one of my bookmarks.
It's a big Philadelphia.
Yeah, no,
it's
no,
my homepage, actually. It's my homepage.
Philadelphia Inquirer, right? Uh-huh. I think it's Philly.com. Anyway, so they wrote a story about the owner of the Eagles, Jeffrey Lurie. Now, Jeffrey Lurie is not listening to the show right now because he is very liberal. He is a liberal guy. He is not a conservative guy. Mm-hmm. A lot of NFL owners are conservative. Robert Kraft probably most famously gave a bunch of money to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it was in the article, it says 7 owners of the NFL donated at least $1 million to Donald Trump for the campaign.
Wow.
So the NFL, is particularly the owners, are you know conservative bunch for mm-hmm. when it comes to people who are actually in the media and talk like that. So Kraft is one of 7 NFL owners who have donated at least $1 million to Trump. Lurie, the Eagles owner, didn't give Donald a dime, but that doesn't mean he disagrees with the Trump distaste for the Colin Kaepernick experience. Sitting out the anthem, wearing socks with cartoons of pigs and police uniforms, wearing a shirt that featured Fidel Castro. Must have missed that one. Equating Hillary Clinton with Trump and not bothering to vote in November. Again, that's another thing that people don't point, the left doesn't point out that often. He said Hillary Clinton was basically as bad as Donald Trump. So
Kaepernick did?
Yeah, Kaepernick was like,
is this guy a flat-out socialist?
Yeah,
he's just a...
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the anthem thing that the owner of the Eagles, Jeffrey Lurie, can't get past. I don't think anybody who is... This is a quote. I don't think anybody who is protesting the national anthem, ... is very respectful. If that's all their platform is to protest the national anthem, then what's the proactive nature of it? In Lurie's mind, kneeling for the anthem just ticks people off if there's no follow-up. In 2011... America's team, the Philadelphia Eagles. I added the America's team part. That was not in the article.
Yeah, that's not a surprise to we all know.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. As a journalist, I wanted to make sure everyone understood that.
Mm-hmm.
They were named the most socially proactive sports team in the world. Okay,
wow.
That's how liberal.
In the world?
In the world?
And by the way, I tell you this. I went to, we were on our last vacation. We went up to Philly because we used to live up in that area. I have a lot of friends up there, and we spent the time up there. And I took Zach, my son, on an Eagles stadium tour. I've been an Eagles fan my whole life. So we go through the stadium tour, and they're walking us through. You go through all the innards of the stadium. It's a cool experience. Any city you're in, you should take your kid on the local stadium tour, because it's just cool. You go through the locker rooms. You go out on the field. You do all the cool stuff. And so we go up to the press box. We're up in the press box, and they're like, and then it starts.
Well, if you notice, at the top of the stadium are windmills. And did you know that solar power is, we use more solar power here at Lincoln Financial Field than any other stadium in the world?
And they go through all of the, like, just bragging about their green, crap. And so about halfway, I swear to you this happened, halfway through this presentation, they're like, these windmills, and they had these, like, spiral windmills on the top of the stadium that I swear are never turning. It's very rare you actually see them moving at all and generating any electricity.
Even with half a turn, it creates more green energy than any stadium in America.
So this is where it goes. The guy who's the stadium tour, it's like,
so do you see these windmills? It's incredible technology. They are developed by X Corporation, and they came out. There's this advanced technology. And think about that. I want you to think about this. When these things turn, how many hair dryers can you power with these wind-powered turbines?
I'm thinking to myself, hair dryers? You're trying to power a freaking stadium. Like, what? How many
hair
dryers?
Using hair dryers as an example?
It's completely ridiculous, right? And I'm like, how many hair dryers can be run by a bunch of wind turbines? I don't know, a million? I mean, who cares? Like, unless you're a really big salon, who cares about that question?
But so, what is the answer?
So I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, someone's guess is like,
10,000, 100,000.
Like, people are answering all these things. The guy
14!
The guy legitimately says, one. I swear to you.
What?
One. And I'm like, wait a minute. What do you mean
one
hair dryer?
You mean like 1,000?
No.
One.
And I go, what do you mean one? I swear. And I go, what do you mean one? He goes, yeah, actually, these they're actually symbolic. They don't actually really generate much electricity at all, but they're...
What?
I go, one hair dryer? What do you... They power one
hair
dryer?
That guy cannot be given the tour anymore.
No, he's got to be fired.
Right.
I'd be like... I mean, but he was... The rest of it was praising green energy. It was
unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
It was not a right-wing message. And then it was like this amazing thing where you expected him to say... 50 times the amount of hairdressers that have
billion.
Yeah. One is
right.
What he said.
Right now.
One.
Right now, we're in hopes to be having the energy to create 18 million blow dryers going at the same time. But right now, we only have one.
We only have one. So I'm doing that from memory, but it was definitely one of. I mean,
wow.
And it was an incredible moment. That's amazing. But anyway, so the Eagles are they are not a conservative organization.
Right.
So Sean King, African-American white person who is white but says he's black, says he tweets to the Eagles, the owner of the Eagles said he wouldn't hire Colin Kaepernick because of his anthem protest, but he hired a white player who called black people the N-word. And of course, he uses the actual word because he's black. I guess he's allowed to, even though he's white. So, he's referring to Riley Cooper. Now, of course...
He didn't hire him... said that. He hired him before that.
So the guy was already on the team when when that happened. He was suspended they did not release him. So I guess that's the criticism.
And had other teammates speak up for him at the time, as a matter of fact. Other real African-American teammates.
Michael Vick, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, exactly. Michael Vick stood up for him, Riley Cooper as well, on that. And by the way, again, another point here that the Eagles signed Michael Vick, who is coming, obviously a black quarterback, an actual black person who actually is black, which is different than Sean King, who is white and says that he's black. Just so you're clear, you got to understand the clarification there. But they hired him through a lot of trouble. And I mean, who's not exactly in demand at the time.
Yeah.
So the Eagles actually respond to this dope. And I'm talking about Sean King, a guy who is who says he's black, but he's actually white. Mm-hmm. That's Sean King. So they released the entire context of the quote. Now, this is not a hardcore opposition to Colin Kaepernick. Listen to some of this. What do you think the owners around the league's responsibility is when it comes to demonstrating in the name of social injustice? Jeffrey Lurie responds, it's a big problem in America, social injustice. Anybody who wants to do proactive things to try to reverse social injustice, I'm all in favor of. it has to be respectful. It has to be done. It has to be done with respect to the military and the people that serve and the women and men that serve our country, emergency responders, whoever that is. You've got to, I think, do it in a respectful way. But I applaud anybody that can find respectful ways of trying to use their platform in some way to discuss social injustice. Now, it's third mention of social injustice here. This is hardcore conservative. We all need to discuss it. We've all seen it around us. We live in a city that has a lot of it. There are multiple issues. They're not simply racial issues. There's a lot of economic issues. So we're getting economic injustice arguments now from this guy who's, I guess, a hater. Then he is asked, would you sign Colin Kaepernick? I have no idea. We're completely happy with our quarterback situation. That's an interesting point there in that they needed a backup. Colin Kaepernick was available at the time they needed a backup. Instead, they signed Nick Foles. Now,
who's white, by the way.
Yeah.
But it's like racists.
They already have players on the team who are black and who are engaging in the same protest that Colin Kaepernick did. Most famously, if you're an Eagles fan, is Malcolm Jenkins, who's one of the best safeties in the league. But also, every game since the beginning of last year has been raising his fist in protest for the national anthem. And yet he still stays on the team because, you know, he's good. And they want him on the team because, you know, he's good. And that's what happens when you're a good player and you're good, you stay on the team. It's funny because all of these players around the NFL that are protesting in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick, he's getting a raw deal. And we're going to kneel during the national anthem because he's getting a raw deal. Where are they kneeling? They're kneeling on the grass, located on the field, where you could only be if you have a job, which they have. Because all the other players around the league that are protesting the national anthem still have their jobs because they're good. That is the difference between Colin Kaepernick
saying,
and everyone else.
Are you trying to say that some of these people are on the team not because of their racial makeup or the color of their skin, but because they actually play the game well?
Yes, that is what I'm
saying. It's shocking.
It's stunning. I know I'm out on a limb on that.
Is the NFL a merit-based system?
It's supposed to be.
Is that why 70% are black?
No, it's not. That is not.
Okay.
That is because the owners are racist against white people.
Against white people.
That's what you're not understanding.
All right.
Okay? There's 70% five times. More than five times the percentage that it appears in the population appears in the NFL. And that is, of course, racism against whites, I would assume.
NFL is disproportionately African-American.
Absolutely. And we're talking about some of, you know, the best jobs in the world that every child wants.
Yes.
Every child wants to grow up and play in the NFL. Those jobs go 70% to African-Americans. I've always believed that was because they were the best players in the world.
Yeah, I did too.
But maybe it was racism against whites.
Maybe.
I guess we can all make that argument now. This quote keeps going. Following up on Kaepernick, when you say that you would applaud anyone who finds respectful ways to have their platform, is kneeling for the national anthem respectful to you? Now, this is interesting because they just keep following up. Right? He's already answered this question. But they just keep pushing to try to get this interaction to happen.
They want it to be a controversy.
They want the quote out there, and then they want some dope like Sean King, who happens to be a white person who says he's black, by the way. They want him to respond, so then there's this controversy, which has happened now. So how would you, kneeling for the national anthem respectful to you? Jeffrey Lurie, owner of the Eagles, says, I don't think anybody who is protesting the national anthem in and of itself is very respectful. If that's all their platform is to protest the national anthem, then what's the proactive nature of it? I think sometimes we can misinterpret what those are. I've talked to Malcolm Jenkins, the Eagle player I was talking about. He's very involved in our community here. That's my involvement with Malcolm. It's what can you do as a player to be involved in the community? Whether it's social injustice, whether it's autism, you name it. There are opportunities to be proactive. We as a franchise try to be as proactive as you can be as a sports franchise. I think it's all about respect. It's respect. Anyone who doesn't have respect for the servicemen that support our country loses me. So it's very important to show respect for the flag, for the anthem, but it can be misinterpreted by certain people for not showing respect. So what he's saying is, if you just go out there and kneel and do nothing else, that's a pointless gesture.
It's worthless. Yeah.
If you are doing something that improves the community, if you are raising money for the cause, if you're doing what you believe is right, and a way that you're drawing attention to that cause is the national anthem, well, I guess you can do it, as long as you're not disrespectful to the servicemen. On the other side of that is, if all you're doing, like Colin Kaepernick, by the way, who kneels for the national anthem and then doesn't even vote in the election, If what you're doing is just kneeling the national anthem largely to draw attention to yourself, that's a different story. Completely valid way of thinking there. And a nonsensical criticism from Sean King, who happens to be a white person with two white parents.
Why
who
haven't
says
you brought that
he's
up
black.
Before?
Yeah,
wait,
he says he's...
Wait, he's not... Because he worked for the NAACP. You're saying he's a white guy?
Yeah, because he says he's a black guy.
Yeah.
But in reality...
Really strange.
In the real world...
Yeah.
He's actually white.
Huh. That's weird.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't identify as a white person.
He doesn't identify.
Too, so
but
why don't
his,
you...
his mom is white. And his dad is also...
black.
No, white.
White.
That's the one you missed on. All so right. When you have a white mom... And a white dad, the child is generally considered to be white. No. Generally considered to be white. Again, you're jumping to a few conclusions.
I'm very confused here. Very confused.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Interesting tweet coming in, Pat. Yeah. So, Stu, is Sean King a white guy? And yes, the answer to that is actually yes. He's white. But he says that he's black.
Well, why would
and
he do you, that, though?
Well,
I don't understand.
It's interesting. They have a there's mm-hmm. a term for it. It's basically like if you are if you're one thing and you say you're another thing, it's called a lie.
Yeah, and sometimes like you're nuts.
Yeah. You could be crazy too. That's true. Right? There are other explanations.
There are people
for that.
Who think they're birds, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't put them in a. You know, mm-hmm. like a bird cage. You don't do that.
That would be wrong because
they're
people.
Yeah.
They might say they're birds, but what they are
are people. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the same thing here is Sean King says he's a black person, but in reality, he is a white person.
In Jeffy's case, sometimes he says, I'm a rhinoceros. And you think, well, maybe.
No, he kind of.
I mean, lies.
I think he actually is.
Yeah, the size, mm-hmm. you know.
I can identify anything I want.
That's
you can.
True.
Okay. You can.
It's true. You do a good job with that.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go to Ted in Oklahoma. Hi, Ted. You're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat, Stu, and Jeffy.
Hey, if they are America's most progressive team in sports or the world's most progressive team in sports, does the water boy or the 13 person on the depth chart make the same as the starting quarterback?
What an excellent question.
You know
question.
What? No.
What an excellent question.
Stunningly, the answer
are
to that
you saying
is no.
The water boy doesn't make $8.5 million a year?
No. No, they does not.
I why?
Why? Hatred, I would assume.
Why don't they have equal outcomes for the people on that team?
Corporatism, I think, is what I'm supposed to say when someone says that.
Thanks,
I think
Ted.
You just blame it on corporatism. It's funny, the Eagles were named after the like an FDR progressive, you know, the NRA back in that day, not the National Rifle Association.
Oh, really?
The National Recovery Act symbol of that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they have a very progressive history as well. And maybe that's why they've been punished with zero Super Bowls, sadly. Maybe that's.
How and why did you become a fan of this team? The most unlikely pairing of all time.
Yeah, because I grew
Stu
up in.
Stu and the Philadelphia Eagles.
And I was born in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Connecticut, where there in Connecticut you have a mixture of Giants fans, some Patriots fans, and
I think
there's one Jets fan somewhere, and that's the only one actually of the entire franchise. But yeah, I cannot explain it. I know that I have pictures of myself at like 6 and 7 years old in an Eagles jersey. I don't know why. It was Ron Jaworski. Ron Jaworski jersey.
I loved Ron Jaworski.
He's a badass. But yeah, no. But I actually have no idea. My dad was a huge Giants fan. I mean,
it's really weird.
I have no idea why, but it's been for a very long time.
Yeah, very, very strange. You know what else is strange is this protest of the national anthem. I don't understand it. I don't understand it from the NFL, and now it's spreading to even places like Buffalo Wild Wings. There's a story about an employee there. You know, people go to Buffalo Wild Wings to
watch
a game,
games, yeah.
Have some wings.
Hello.
And so the TVs are turned up for the game, and you want to hear it. And one of the employees went over to television, and as the national anthem was beginning, turned it down. They're like, well,
what are you doing?
What are you doing? We're watching that. We want to hear the national anthem. No. It's insensitive. It's inappropriate to play in here. That's corporate policy. So he tells the people that they can't hear the national anthem at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Is it
so
corporate weird. Policy?
No, it is not.
Of course.
And the franchisee, the franchise owner said, no, that's not corporate policy.
You.
And he's profusely apologized to the customers there. But this thing has been spreading to... I don't even... When did the Star Spangled Banner... become a point of contention Among Americans. I mean, maybe the British could be pissed off about it, but why would Americans? What about it can even be construed as inappropriate or racist or hateful? I don't understand it.
It's so weird, and this has been going around for a long time. It's such an odd thing that it's a new issue. I mean, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who was on the Denver Nuggets back in the 90s, sat for the national anthem. Carlos Delgado from America's team, the Toronto Blue Jays, also sat for the national anthem.
If you hate America, maybe it's appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, you could at least argue it, I guess, on the Blue Jays, right? They're from Canada, maybe. You could at least argue it. But it's such a strange thing that now it's really come weird. Back and it's made such a big deal.
Glenn Beck.
Quick clarification here before we move on. A lot of people confused.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck program.
Quick clarification here. I know a lot of people are confused and I'm seeing a lot of comments here. Sean King says he is black.
Yeah, sure. Because he's a black man.
That's what people are thinking.
Yeah.
They're not understanding. He says he's black, but actually he's a white person.
Has that been confirmed by anyone but you?
His parents. What? He has two parents. And one parent is white and the other parent
is black.
No.
So he's part black.
No. That's what a lot of people might think.
Yeah.
In actuality, one parent is white and the other parent is white. So
you're saying both parents are white?
Right, yes.
And they produced a black child?
No.
That's really
How is
strange.
That possible?
I mean, is it impossible? No.
I guess it's
strange. It's unusual.
Yeah. Who are we to judge?
I mean, what are the odds?
It may be possible, but it was not possible in this case. He's a white
person. I'd say the odds are probably worse than 1 in 2.
Yeah, much worse. Yeah, considerably worse.
Yeah, they're worse than that.
Than 1 in 2. Will you be discussing the racial makeup of Sean King on Pat Gray Unleashed today? I may do that.
I just may do that. And by the way, that's why I'm normally not on this program. I have switched to my own program.
You have?
And it's Pat Gray Unleashed on the Blaze Radio and Television Network.
And when does that happen, Pat? Does it happen at like 4 in the morning?
Immediately following this particular program.
People should watch and listen. And by the way, another thing they should do is subscribe on iTunes for the podcast of Pat Gray Unleashed, which is racing up the charts. I haven't checked it today. I know yesterday it was number 11.
Yeah. I haven't checked it today either, but we're number 11 with a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on up, this week, it's Pat Gray Unleashed. So, yeah, Casey will be counting it down.
He will be. Okay. Good to hear.
We were talking about the protest in the NFL of the national anthem, which is incomprehensible to me. I don't even understand it. I mean, why the national anthem? Why that particular... The national anthem doesn't represent the police, and apparently that was what Kaepernick was upset about, right? The treatment of black people by police. And
in the beginning, that's what he said, right?
Yeah. And it might be a nice thing if you actually investigated some of the details surrounding all of those incidents. Now, there may be a couple of them that where you have a legitimate point.
Yeah, and there are a couple.
However, in the vast majority of the cases that are cited all the time, you know, like the hands up, don't shoot nonsense, that didn't even happen. It's a complete fallacy, and it just didn't happen. And in most of the cases, it was justified. The other thing is more white people actually get shot by cops than black people.
It's a minor point.
Disproportionate to the population as well.
What's interesting, too, about that is like you step back and say, okay, the national anthem, what he's saying there is that the American system is unjust.
Yeah.
And therefore, he's just protesting the whole country because he doesn't like this thing the country has produced.
Right.
This theoretical, because it's not real, but theoretical, maniacal violence from police officers against black people. And we've gone through those stats a million times. It is actually not a thing. It's not real.
It's a lot
legitimately
like
not real.
The gender pay inequality.
Yeah.
That's also a thing that's not real.
Yeah, although that one is, there is a difference in pay, but there are reasons for it.
Yeah.
This is, there's actually not, these things don't actually exist. There is no systemic. Yes, there are incidents, and they're important to make sure that they get the justice comes to those.
And as far as I know, in virtually all of those cases where the police are quite clearly at fault, they've been charged with murder.
Yeah, there's been
kicked off the force, and are some of them are on trial right now for murder. They should be.
And we're not perfect in this country. Absolutely not. For example, one of the ways we're not perfect is Colin Kaepernick got a large contract from the NFL and got millions of dollars for playing football that he can't actually play. So that was one of the things that's and that's what the point is. Like when you're protesting the entire country because of one outcome the country has produced that you say is bad, you're also criticizing the whole country, which has produced another outcome, which is your career.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, great.
Yeah, capitalism has also produced the wonderful life you live. and the incredible things you have if you're Colin Kaepernick for a limited amount of ability. I mean, they've given this to you because you had one halfway decent year with a great defense, great coach, and great running game. I mean, that is...
And it's also almost impossible to accuse these NFL football teams of racism. Check the makeup of the team, maybe. Because in many cases, there are black quarterbacks, and there's certainly more blacks than whites, and... It's just it's not a real point that
you're really making. It's really frustrating,
and it doesn't exist.
And along with the NFL teams, I'm really surprised that the NFL it's too late for them now. But they should have just nipped this in the bud when they had the chance.
Yeah, but they don't do that.
Stop it.
So you're saying that what? Make them stand?
Yes. I don't care if you put your hand over your heart or you hold your helmet along your side. We tell you, you wear the uniform, you go out on the field, you stand on the sideline, you stand up for the for the national anthem, and then we play football. That's part of the deal. That's what it is.
I think you could theoretically do that. To me, that's, you know, these guys want to do what
they're
doing.
It'll create a whole thing. Yeah. I mean, you could do that because it's their private business.
Yes.
And you're their employee. And so they can demand that you do certain things and be respectful.
And do.
Just be respectful to the nation. I demand that because we have people watching us. Those are our customers. And you're going to hurt the team if you don't do that. So, yes, you could make a legitimate point, but the outcry would be unbelievable.
And
they're never going to do that.
Well, yeah, now
they're never going to do
now, most definitely. But, you know, in the first stages, it might not have been.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll never know, though.
I know.
I personally don't necessarily think you should do that. I mean, I think they should be able to do what they want to do. I just, you know, I know that I would, you know, where the Eagles coach, obviously, by his actions, the Eagles owner, excuse me, would not eliminate someone for protesting the national anthem. He has players on his team that actually do it currently, and he's still being criticized. I don't think they'll, for myself, I don't think I'd want one of those people on my team. You know,
you know, Martellus Bennett just started this with the Green Bay Packers, which the Packers are my NFL team. And Martellus Bennett, I think he stood with his fist raised or something during the anthem. But it's a little different in his case because his brother, Michael Bennett, just had a really bad situation with police. And so it's kind of understandable from his point of view where, although I still wouldn't protest the anthem, I don't know how the two are tied in.
Right.
But he had a legitimate beef with his brother being treated poorly by police.
Yeah, and I don't know how that one's going to come out either. I mean, I don't think the police agree with his analysis of the situation.
Yeah.
Which is something that's going to obviously have to be figured out as we go. But at least you can understand it a little bit. I mean, someone like Colin Kaepernick, what has ever happened to this guy? I mean, this guy has risen through the ranks. He got millions of dollars that by no means did he deserve for his ability. I mean, he's been rewarded for basically mediocre to bad quarterback play for several years with millions of dollars. And he thinks that this country is so awful.
He does. He has a clear. I mean, it's pretty clear.
It's not about the police.
It's not about the police. He doesn't like America. And he has a girlfriend who's a...
Yes, he does. And that's all kind of started...
Black Lives Matter person?
DJ from New York, and for the life of me, I can't remember her name, but she is a definite proponent of the Black Lives
Matter. My strong suspicion is she has really stoked that fire in him.
Women, you know, they tend to do that.
They can get in your head.
Yes, they can.
Yes.
So just to be clear, we're blaming women, just in case any of the left-wing websites want to attack us today. We're blaming women for all the problems of the world. No, but what's interesting is, and then who knows if this is true, because, you know, he's a guy that was convicted of obstruction of justice in a murder trial, but Ray Lewis said that the Baltimore Ravens were going to sign or considering signing Kaepernick this year, and his girlfriend tweeted a picture of Ray Lewis like hugging a slave owner to show that
what?
Ray Lewis was like in line with the man or something. This racist post on social media, and they were like, "All right, this is ridiculous." That's what Ray
Lewis
says.
And see, nobody wants to deal with that as a business owner. You know, you have a great business called an NFL football team, and it's a license to print money, essentially. So you don't want to hurt your business by bringing somebody like that in.
And during all this time, we've noticed that he has not said where he talks about wanting to be in the NFL, and everybody's talking for him. But never do you hear him say he's looking forward to playing football.
No, he doesn't have any focus at all.
Any drive to play football at
exactly.
all.
Exactly. It doesn't seem like he has any interest in playing the sport.
And perhaps if I lost my job to Blaine Gabbert, I might feel that way too.
Yeah, well, you know, and honestly, I have no interest in him seeing him play the sport either, which is kind of interesting. We have that in common. But with the Baltimore Ravens thing, it's like Ray Lewis is their like top of the line Hall of Fame level player, right?
Yeah,
like
man.
This is their franchise.
He's an icon.
And you know, to go and basically call him an Uncle Tom in public social media.
Terrible.
Is not going to get you really hired. Terrible.
No, it's not.
You know, it's just not going to happen.
And it is so frustrating how this weirdness is spreading. It's not just the national anthem. There's a high school in Folsom, California, discouraging students, in fact, warning them, hey, don't chant. Apparently, one of their traditions is they chant USA, USA at the football game. It's not directed at anybody who might be from another country. They're at a football game in, I don't know, the USA. Why couldn't you? So they're telling them not to because it could be perceived as intolerant or offensive. Really? To whom? To North Koreans? Is Kim Jong Il in the stands?
I don't think so.
Who's going to take offense? Don't you live here? Aren't you enjoying the fruits of this nation if you're here at a football game?
You'd think so.
You would think so.
Well, look, it's ESPN, right? ESPN said, well, yes, you said guerrilla warfare and meant G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A, but it could be perceived by people on Twitter that you said gorilla, G-O-R-I-L-L-A, and that way, that would be racist against Venus Williams or Serena Williams, and therefore you're fired. They said that to an actual tennis commentator, and he was
flat
fired.
Flat out fired him. Fired the guy with the chink in the armor.
Yep.
Fired, who was the other one?
Kurt Schilling.
Kurt Schilling was fired summarily. And then they just suspended the woman who was talking about. Yeah. Well, they didn't. They haven't suspended her.
No, they didn't suspend her. They just gave her a.
We told her it was kind of inappropriate, and she apologized. So we're cool.
It's like, wait, who are you?
They put a stern letter in her file.
I know. That.
Was it strongly worded?
Yes.
Oh no.
ESPN fires everyone for everything.
Yes.
And by the way, the correct way to handle that situation is not. We're not saying that Jameel, at least I'm not. I'm not saying Jameel Hill should be fired. She shouldn't.
Unless you're following normal protocol at ESPN.
They handled this one the right way. You know what? I think it's fair if you have a sports commentator to go to him and say, look, honestly.
Talk sports, please.
You can't be out there. Half of our audience likes Donald Trump. Okay? So don't bash him and call him a white supremacist, please. I think that is a completely fair standard for a corporation to say. On the same side, if you came out and Kurt Schilling was making public pronouncements about being conservative, right? I think it's fair to say, look, Kurt, I get that you want to be active in politics, but it's not our game. And half of our audience likes Barack Obama. So please don't make these public pronouncements about Barack Obama. I think both of those are completely
Absolutely.
Fair. What is not fair is the firing. So they handle all the conservatives with this ridiculous standard of anytime they say anything mildly controversial, they get fired. And then when you say something pretty controversial, I mean, you're calling not only Donald Trump, but everyone surrounding him a white supremacist. That is one of the worst things you can say about anyone. You're calling him a racist. You're comparing him to the KKK. You're comparing them to the Nazis. And I mean, it's one of the worst insults you can come up with against another person. And that's like, well, you know what? We put a letter in your file. It's just, it's completely inconsistent when it comes to politics. But as, you know, we talked about a little bit yesterday, it is consistent with ESPN because they punish conservatives and they let progressives off the hook. That's what they do. They've chosen their path.
It's just so frustrating that it's almost enough to make me leave this business to go sell facial cream.
Really?
I'm just about there.
Really?
Yeah, I'm really just about there.
It's funny you mentioned that because I printed out an article. I don't even remember which one it was. For prep for today's show, and halfway down, I noticed it said the real reason why what's her face from Waco,
Joanna Gaines
left the
show. I know
they're still doing it,
still perpetuating the lie.
No, she did. First
Wait
of all,
second.
It's not the reason.
What
the lie
that she
it's
left
a lie. It's a flat out.
She's not selling facial cream.
She's not going to leave Chip or the show to sell facial cream. Hasn't created havoc in their marriage.
Amazing.
That's really something.
I was amazed because not only is she, that's not the reason she's leaving, she's not leaving. Like, it's like none of it is even close to true. All right, 888-727 Beck is our number, our sponsor this half hour. Sooner or later, by the way, you know this, Jeffy, more than anybody, it's your car is going to break down.
Oh.
It's a fact that every car, truck, and SUV, really, it's going to happen at some point. If you're lucky, it happens while still under the manufacturer's warranty and the repair's covered. If it happens after that, you're basically screwed. You could be out of pocket for thousands of dollars to get it fixed. That's why I love getting coverage, extended coverage from carshield.com. Now, Jeffy and I both have this. A new engine or a new transmission could cost, you know, $5,000. Even a simple repair to a sensor can cost over $1,000. I swear they did this on purpose, by the way. They're just like, yeah, well, what if we make these cars impossible for normal people to fix? Then they'll be everything will be really expensive, and no one will
that
be able
sounds
to do
good
it.
Except that when they were okay, that they say that they were everybody could fix them. Mm-hmm. I still couldn't fix them.
I couldn't either. Didn't
matter.
I couldn't either. I'll be honest with you on that one. But CarShield solves this problem. Skip the hassle. CarShield makes the whole process really easy. This is true. In fact, you can just get your mechanic to actually call CarShield and they'll deal with it. You don't even have to worry about it. They know CarShield and they know the work that they do. There's no check-ins with the mail. You don't have to worry about all the reimbursements. CarShield gets the mechanic paid directly. CarShield's administrators will even give you the VIP treatment, providing 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is in the shop, so you're not left stranded in the cold. If your car is 3 to 12 years old, it doesn't mean you have to pay high car repair bills. CarShield administrators have paid close to $2 billion in claims, and they're ready to help you now. Save yourself thousands in potential car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate in extended service vehicle protection before it's too late. Call 800-CAR-6100, 800-CAR-6100, and mention code BECK, or visit carshield.com and use the code BECK to save 10%. Carshield.com, code BECK. A deductible may apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat and Stu, Jeffy, for Glenn. He's back on Monday. He actually had some kind of, I think he's doing a speech, and he's doing a speech for super liberal people in Nantucket, right? Isn't that today?
I guess so, yeah.
Today or tomorrow. And I don't remember where he met this guy. Do you? The guy who invited? Oh, yes, it's the guy.
Nantucket Nectars. Yeah, it's Tom Scott. Yeah. He's the guy who
good
started
guy.
The juice company, Nantucket Nectars. You've probably had those
and he's
before.
Pretty conservative.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But I mean, I don't
seem
I don't
like
think
a crazy liberal. We talked to him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was. I mean, he's definitely not a crazy liberal. I don't know his politics particularly well, but I don't think everyone in the group is going to be a crazy liberal, but you know.
But the event is going to be filled with liberals, and he was asked to speak about God. This should be a really interesting weekend for Glenn. I can't wait to hear what happens when he comes back next week. But he's fine to go into the unfriendly fire, though, and see what happens.
You may have a tiki torch brigade coming to protest him there as well.
So. Yeah. All right. Much more on the way, including the latest from Hillary Clinton. Get into that on the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth.
Pat Gray, Stu Bergier, for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. Just a real quick note. They had a huge fire at a historic home in Massachusetts last December. It was on National Candle Safety Day. And this beautiful, beautiful mansion they call the Castle burned down, causing $700,000 worth of damage. It was caused by a candle. On National Candle Safety Day. I just love that story.
That's why you always listen to whatever day it is. Think about it. When it's Ice Cream Sundae Day, what do?
We have ice cream sundaes.
When it's National Nachos Day, we eat nachos.
Nachos.
That's because we're Americans and we care about the country. I don't know. Sorry. But, you know, shoot us. You know, I don't know what we're supposed to say. When there's a baked good that has a day, we eat that baked good.
Yes.
Because we care about America, period.
And again, like you said, so sue us.
Yeah.
Okay? We're not going to apologize for it.
No.
Hillary Clinton's not going to apologize for her loss either last November because it wasn't her fault. If there's one thing that's becoming crystal clear is that every element and every force in the universe combined against her, and she just couldn't do anything about it because we all know for a fact everyone loves Hillary. How many times have you heard those words spoken?
Well, you just said them, so one.
So you've heard them once. Mm-hmm. To the Oneth Power?
To the Oneth Power, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She is pretty amazing on this book tour.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand really what the point of it is. Because, I mean, I guess she's just trying to rake in the cash.
Yeah.
Which I understand. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, her last book, didn't she get a $14 million advance, it seems? And then it sold, I don't know, very few copies. I don't think the thing ever hit number one on the New York Times best-selling list.
Really?
I don't think so. I just don't think people are that interested in what Hillary Clinton has to say. But they gave her another huge advance, and she's out promoting this thing like crazy. And she was talking to Matt Lauer, and it's interesting because Matt Lauer was one of the people she was criticizing pretty strongly in the book. But here's Hillary, I guess, accepting personal responsibility in the only way Hillary can.
Fans of yours, I think, are looking at this book and they're saying this is a frank assessment and this is a much needed discussion of the 2016 election. Mm-hmm. Foes of yours are probably saying, oh, here she goes. She's pointing fingers. She's whining. There is a lot of criticism in this book, and effort of full disclosure, you criticize me pretty soundly in a few pages of this book.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the self-inflicted wounds, mm-hmm. when you look at the list of them and you go through them in the book, mm-hmm. did you make enough mistakes yourself to lose the election without any of the other things you talk about?
Well, I will say no, Matt. I don't think that will surprise you. But, you know, also, this book has a lot of behind-the-scenes look at what it's like to run for president, particularly, again, as a woman. The sad side or the disappointment that obviously came because we lost, and especially somewhat bitterly because we won the popular vote so significantly.
She accepts none of the blame. It's not her fault that she lost. It's just not her fault.
It actually does surprise me. She doesn't throw out the words. Well, in the end, at least, you know, it comes down to me.
She doesn't even make any qualms about it.
No.
She's accepting no personal responsibility.
Incredible.
Well, it wasn't my fault.
Oh. And here she is. I was just about to mention that surprising us by waltzing into the studio and just sitting down.
Hi, guys.
Hillary Clinton.
It's kind of impressive. Hillary, yeah. Thank you for...
Sounds like you have a little bit of a cold or maybe...
Oh, I'm okay.
Scratchy throat?
I haven't done any of my nostril yoga practices today.
Okay.
And,
oh, that's right. You have the alternate nostril breathing thing that you picked up in yoga.
It relaxes me so well when I'm back home. And I've been on the road, you know, out promoting the new book, What Happened.
Apparently you didn't have time to brush your hair before you came in?
Well, it's a little windy
out
there. Yeah, okay. I'm here just
in the building? Windy in the building?
Yeah, I'm here just to record some audio samples from my book. And
we do have some audio samples here from Hillary Clinton's book.
Okay.
And so far, because she said in that clip, Pat, it's not sad. It's not a sad story. All it has been in these excerpts that we've found have been incredibly sad. It's to the point of like, mm-hmm. you almost, if she was another person, might feel bad for her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't because she's not taking any personal responsibility and she's incredibly unlikable. But you almost might find a path through the woods to eventually land
to
in a
empathy.
Place where you could say, oh, man, I feel bad for her. And then move on.
Uh-huh.
But then that doesn't happen because she's her.
Just let me say this, that while writing my new book, it wasn't easy at all. Okay? Wasn't easy.
Okay.
Every day that I was a candidate for president, I knew that millions of people were counting on me. I couldn't bear the idea of letting them down.
And yet?
But I did. I couldn't get the job done, and I'll have to live with that for the rest of my life.
See, I would expect that in the interviews, that take, because that was another excerpt from her book, in case you couldn't tell. But like
of
that,
of course
take
it
is,
was an excerpt from my book.
Yes, I know, Hillary. But it's like one of those things where you say, look, I didn't quite get the job done. I tried my best. You know, it didn't work out. There were some issues we had to deal with, but in the end, it's my responsibility. That's not in the inner. I don't think she actually believes that. Like, that's in the book, but that's more of like a throwaway line. When she's asked in person, it does seem to be her response of basically no.
No,
it was everybody else who did things. They were racist. They were sexist.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of bastards.
The media
was tough on
me. Russians.
The Russians, all that stuff.
Sexism, racism.
Sexism, yes, is the number one.
Sexism, number one.
So, Hillary,
I'm a woman.
If you're a woman and sexism is the reason, why did you pick a dude named Tim for your vice president? Why didn't you pick another woman?
You know, I was given some advice that he would be the right man, and I was advised wrong.
So again, it was not your fault. Just want to make sure I understand that. Okay, what do you have another excerpt here?
Well, it's just one of my favorite lines that I like to use from time to time, and I wanted to put it in the book. It's that which does not kill us make us stronger. I love that line, and it's
true.
It's from Nietzsche and Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, is that what she wrote in the book? Nietzsche and Kelly Clarkson? Oh, good God. Good heavens.
When did Kelly Clarkson say that? Is that in a song or the Kelly Clarkson?
You don't know the Kelly Clarkson song?
I'm unfamiliar with the Kelly Clarkson.
By the way, I think Jeffy would be an expert on this particular topic. I wish he was here because he would tell you chlamydia doesn't kill you and it does not make you stronger either. It's neither one of those things. There's a lot of almost every disease. If it's not fatal, the flu sometimes kills you, but if it doesn't, it doesn't make you stronger.
No, it doesn't make you stronger.
It's actually a terrible cliche in every single way. It really is a terrible one. All right, what else do you have here, Hillary? Excerpts from Hillary's book given by the Hillary Clinton. And I will say, some people might say, this doesn't sound like Hillary Clinton.
Well, she's got a cold.
I got a little, it's just an allergy thing. Yeah. I haven't done my nostril yoga.
But I will say this, right. If you were to see Hillary, you would know 100%. The visual of this is something you may want to hop on to. Maybe I'll post a picture here in a moment on Facebook and the Twitter, at World of Stew, by the way. And
I just threw something on. It's not anything special. Everyday pants suit.
I will say, though, it's not the Mao look that you went with the entire campaign. So
this is a weird choice.
Yeah.
I guess unless you're running a socialist campaign, then it's not such a weird choice. All right. From Hillary Clinton's book, what happened?
It would have been an extraordinary honor to be the first woman to take the oath. You know, I've said that time and time again. I won't pretend I hadn't dreamt of that moment for me, for my mother, for my daughter, her daughter, everyone's daughters.
For our sons. All the daughters. And the sons,
instead,
too?
Instead, the world was listening to the new president's undimmed fury. Then it was done. He was our president. That was some weird... Oh, I'm not supposed to say that word on the radio.
Oh, did you swear in the book?
It was some weird
stuff. Mm-hmm. Does she actually
George
swear
w
in the book?
George W. reportedly said with... she's horrible.
What do you mean she?
Are you giving up on this? In your own book, Hillary?
What? So what is the line here? That was some weird stuff.
Okay, this was done, and he was our president. Mm-hmm. That was some weird stuff, George W. reportedly said with characteristic Texas bluntness. I couldn't have agreed more.
I don't think that's what... Oh, gosh, she's terrible.
Wow.
I mean, it really
this
is...
This makes me really want to run out and purchase that book.
Yeah. Oh,
doesn't it just grab you?
Listen, we've had lines. People are lining up all over America.
One deep, I bet.
I'm going,
I bet they're one deep.
Not quite.
I come in
uh-huh. and I sit down and I just sign books and say hello to people until it's time for me to go. And sometimes the line is still there and sometimes it's not. when it's time for me to go.
Oh, that's sad.
Well,
that's sad, Hillary. The whole book is incredibly sad. But again, she's just not a sympathetic figure.
She talks about her Coke bottle glasses that were thick and she was called four eyes.
That's some of what I...
She even talks about her cankles.
Yeah.
The kids in junior high made fun of her ankles.
Yeah.
I didn't know that kids in junior high ever made fun of ankles.
I've never seen it.
Has that ever
I never
happened
saw it when I was
I don't
a kid.
Know that it, no.
Do you believe it? Jeffy, that who's just walked in the studio, Jeffy, do you actually believe that she was...
I mean, you can make fun of for all kinds of stuff, right? So, you know, maybe. I mean, she was weird enough as a, you know, looking kid to maybe get made fun of.
It's more
many
powerful.
Many of us throughout school years were made fun of and then on into adulthood. Anyway, back to Hillary.
It's more powerful coming from you dressed as Hillary Clinton when you're complaining about people making fun of you. I don't know how it could happen in our society today. All right, you have another excerpt?
I try to find time for yoga or strength and cardio workout.
No, you don't. Hillary, you're not doing any strength workouts.
At home, I work out in an old red barn out back that we've converted into a gym.
And stop running for president. You lost twice.
And an office for Bill with space in the converted hayloft for the Secret Service.
That's where Bill takes all his chicks.
In the hayloft? In the converted hayloft. Yeah. It's like a David Letterman lair.
I'm no match for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, however, who pumps iron and who does planks and push-ups 2 days a week. week.
Yeah, you're no match for her because she's got a job.
Her regime is daunting. Mine is more forgiving.
I think it's regimen, not regime. But thanks.
Thanks.
We're all out of time.
Hillary can't read her own book, obviously.
But it says regime.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Sort of interesting to note that as we wrap up the discussion on Hillary, her book is out and it was posted on Amazon, of course, and the ratings, you know, people post their reviews. And initially, about half of the reviews were one star. Amazon deleted them. So that now her rating is 4.9 stars out of 5 because they deleted all the bad reviews.
It's pretty bad. I mean, I think there is a problem with online reviews.
I think so, sure.
I mean, like,
sure.
It happened to Glenn. When Glenn would release a book, you'd get all the liberals come out
all
and
the
give
ones
it one
the
star
fives.
To hurt. And the same thing happens to Hillary. Both of those things are dumb, right? Like, you should have to read the book. I mean, Amazon has a record of at least buy the book.
Right.
Amazon knows whether you bought the book or not from them. The people that should review things on Amazon should have purchased the book through Amazon, period. That's an easy way to get rid of that. If they want to buy it and pay $20 to leave a one-star review, fine. But you'd eliminate 90% of that problem by just making it so that someone who actually reviews it has to have actually purchased it from the site.
And I'd just like to say that if you've purchased the book, you will not give it a one-star review.
Okay, you're Hillary again? Because, I mean, I know your appearance hasn't changed, but...
No, you know what? I have never gotten used to how much effort it takes just to be a woman in the public eye, Stu.
Interesting coming from you.
I once calculated how many hours I spent having my hair and makeup done during the campaign, and it came out to about 600 hours or
and
25
still didn't
days.
Help, which is sad.
Wait,
still,
what?
It still didn't help. And, you know.
But I spent all this time on it.
Yeah.
600 hours in a whole campaign doesn't actually sound like all
no,
that
it does not.
Because she campaigned for, what, a year?
Over a year. Right,
I mean, yeah, but she's never stopped.
Yeah, she's still doing it now. I don't. Is she going to run in 2020?
She might. I don't think it's out of the question.
I don't think it is either.
Nor is it out of the question for Sanders or Biden.
I think
both of them are
it.
Talking about it, and Biden will be what 78?
Really? Is that 78?
Yeah.
I think Biden's going to go for it. Biden feels like he lost out on a real opportunity, and by the
did.
Way,
he did.
He would. I mean, I think he would have beaten Hillary.
I do too.
If he had run, because he's much better at this. Biden is at least a relatable guy to people, I think. You know, he's kind of he's able to kind of slough off those controversies because everyone's like, ah,
that's just Joe
Biden being Joe. You know, he's been around forever. He's got a million connections, and people in the inner circles actually like him, unlike Hillary.
And he may have been able to handle Trump.
He would have been a much better match for sure. Because the things that Trump does well, Biden does well, too.
Right.
Say, you know, sort of outlandish things, not really back down. Like, he doesn't have the same issues that Hillary has.
Right.
Plus, he's at least a believable communicator. Now, look, he says things that are false all the time, but at least he can say them convincingly.
Yeah, and we know he can sing.
The villages, America.
I don't think...
friendliest hometown.
This proves that he can sing.
The villages, America's friendliest hometown. The villages.
Now, what's very upsetting is that Glenn Beck continues to refuse to acknowledge that is, in fact, Joe Biden singing the Villages song. To this day, he denies that's him.
Some people deny that, you know, 9/11 was Islamic extremism.
Exactly.
Some people believe
some people
the
deny that
flat.
we went to the moon.
Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, there's a lot of people who believe crazy things. Glenn just happens to be one of them in this particular case.
It just doesn't change the facts. Okay.
You
it
heard
just
it.
Does not change.
I mean,
the
one
fact.
Thing if we just said one time he drunkenly sang the Villages theme. It's another thing if we played it for you.
And supposedly he's another one. He's another guy who doesn't drink, right? Isn't that what we're told? Joe Biden doesn't drink.
Biden and Trump. Right?
And Trump.
Yeah, neither one of them
doesn't drink. And yet Trump slurs his words every night around 7 o'clock. Stu, what do you make of that?
What are you talking about?
What do you make of that?
I've never noticed that before.
Oh yeah.
Oh
he's,
yeah.
It's very famous.
Stu,
what?
Never noticed.
There's
before.
A person who has stumbled on to the absolute truth, and don't pretend that you don't know.
Are you
or
are you
believe.
Saying you don't know about this?
I don't.
Listen to this, and then tell me that this is something wrong is happening in Washington, D.C. The deep state is in control of things.
Small amounts of sedatives. It's known that most presidents end up getting drugged.
Right. What?
Small doses.
Yeah, that's a great statement. It's known that most presidents wind up getting drugged.
There's not even an
effort. Known.
It's not even an effort to give one piece of evidence to support that.
That's just the way it always is, right?
It's just, it's known.
Look,
most
this has been proven. This is proven fact. I love it.
Of sedatives till they build it up.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's such a bull. He hasn't fully understood it yet, but I've talked to people. Multiple ones, and they believe
multiple,
that they're
wait,
he's talked to people, multiple ones.
Multiple ones?
He's talked to people, multiple ones.
He's talked to multiple ones?
Yes. And when you multiply one...
You get multiple ones.
You get multiple ones.
Slow sedative that they're building up.
Slow sedative? What's a slow sedative?
He's worried about Trump slurring his words? What about this guy slurring his words?
Yeah, I was going to say S-C-H-L-O-E?
Yes.
Slow sedative?
Coach.
And in his iced tea, and that the president by 6 or 7 at night is
basically
slurring his words and is drugged.
Wow.
Now, first they had to isolate him to do that. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, I've talked to people that talk to the president now at 9 at night.
Mm-hmm.
He is slurring his words.
Oh, my gosh.
What the hell?
Oh, my gosh. Listen to this.
I'm going to leave it at that. I've talked to folks that have talked to him directly.
I've talked to folks that have talked to him directly, which means I've talked about it indirectly to people.
I love that's what that means.
Yes,
when
that
you talk
is exactly
to
what that means.
Someone who's talked to someone else directly, you've spoken to them indirectly.
Exactly.
What other people call it secondhand knowledge is another way. So, I want to make sure I understand the accusation here.
Okay. He's being drugged.
So, during the day, Donald Trump drinks Diet Coke and iced tea. And at some point...
It builds up.
They put drips of sedatives into these drinks.
And he's such a bull, he doesn't understand that.
So bulls don't understand when they're being drugged.
Bulls don't understand when they're being drugged.
And so during the day, he's normal. But as it gets later in the day...
By 6 or 7 o'clock,
right.
He's slurring his words...
Slowly. Okay.
Slowly slurring his words...
Glenn Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat Gray, Stuber Gear, Jeffy, here for Glenn today. He'll be back on Monday. And immediately following this show, you can also listen to me on the Blaze Radio Network. If you're just thinking, geez, 3 hours is just not enough.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just getting warmed up. Now I got to hear him for another 3.
And
I have to.
That sounds great and everything, but my problem with it is I just wish there was a way I could listen after the show aired.
Oh, my
gosh.
Like
if there was some fashion in which I could go to a website or an application and find
such an
amazing version, like
coincidence.
A cast of maybe kind of an iPod, an iPod cast or something.
There is. Incredibly, there is.
What? Well, how would you do
this? You go to theblaze.com and you can download the podcast as well.
Mm.
You
or
go to
iTunes.
Mm-hmm. And download it there. Go to iTunes. In fact, iTunes might be preferable because we're shooting up the iTunes charts. And it would be nice to get all the way to the top of them. That'd be fun. It'd be fun. At first, I was humbled. Now I'm just greedy.
I love that. screw it. I'm just going for
it. Yeah, I'm just going to go for it now.
That's great.
All right. I don't have to hold a machine up to a speaker and record.
No,
your
actually,
show
do not have to do that. And as a matter of fact, Jeffy, it's been some time since you've had to do something like that. You should maybe join us in the 20th century and then get used to the 21st sort of gradually.
Huh.
Okay,
whatever.
All right. 888-727 Beck. Interesting comments from a former executive of Facebook who is saying that Facebook and Google are essentially surveillance states now. This is, something that certainly Glenn is worried about, we've been concerned about and talked about a little bit. It just really kind of seems like the time is here now where people are starting to really become nervous about all the information they have.
Too late.
And you're right. It is. It's too late. We've already given over every aspect of our lives.
Sure
there should be no expectation of privacy anymore because you don't have any. You don't have any.
And most people would argue you have the expectation of privacy in your home. But if you have brought their products, the Google Home or the Amazon Echo into
your home too.
Then you've given up that right then, right? Yeah. I mean, yes. At least they'll make that argument.
It's a very good point. However, it's very difficult to take seriously when you're dressed like Hillary Clinton. I just want to make sure you know
I'm starting to feel comfortable with the wig on. Is that a problem?
No.
It does not seem like it's bothering you. I'll tell you that.
Why would that be a problem? We're inclusive. We're diverse. You want to dress up as a woman and Hillary Clinton, call yourself Susie, I don't care. That's fine.
Yeah, our problem with Chelsea Manning is the whole treason thing. It's not. She can be whoever she wants to be.
Do you know in Canada they're also investigating climate denial? People who deny climate change are going to be investigated now. So there's another thing that's coming to fruition.
It is.
Is this politically correct viewpoint is now so entrenched that if you don't subscribe to it, you could be investigated by law enforcement and perhaps eventually arrested and charged with it. It's just not that outrageous to think that could happen now.
It is not.
You better get on board with climate change or we're going to put you in jail.
You poo-poo the congressmen and the senators that are crazy, and they say that at town halls, and they say that these people that it should happen, and you say, that'll never happen. I mean, it's coming. Well, they're going to try.
And here's the thing. If you actually go by the definition of, let's say, Al Gore, on who is a climate denier, you're going to find not just evil conservatives like ourselves, but the overwhelming majority of the people in the United States of America. Because what you have to believe, if you are Al Gore, is not only is climate change happening, you have to believe that it is almost entirely or entirely man-made. You also have to believe it is catastrophic, and you also must believe that the government must take massive action to control the energy supply here in the United States. Because even if you believe the first three, and you get to that last one, you say, you know what, I just think, you know, maybe the free market would be best at this, or maybe we should just like look at some, you know, hopefully these companies can innovate and we can create that.
You're a denier
unless you say absolutely without question to all of those things. For example, you also have to say that hurricanes are becoming more frequent, even though the science itself says they're becoming less frequent. Even though that's going on, even though the NOAA actually says, NOAA says that there is no indication in the last 120 years of any increase when it comes to hurricanes at all that is tied to man-made climate change, you still have to believe the opposite of those scientists.
Isn't there something we could do about NOAA?
There is. We have to shut them down.
Can we not shut down that organization?
They can start telling people the truth.
Can we, I don't know, bomb the organization?
I mean, is it Breitbart or is it NOAA? These bastards. It's so incredible. There's no trend.
It is because, you know, you could be reasonable and say, sure, I agree. It's a little bit warmer than it was. But that's happened a million times. Well, that you're a denier. Mm-hmm. You could also say, I think it's happened, and it's our fault. However, it's a good thing because there's going to be more food that grows because it's a little bit warmer, and it's not a problem. You're still a denier. That's not enough. You have to go with the catastrophic thing, and you also have to agree
with the government action to solve the catastrophic thing. Because if you believe catastrophic consequences but believe we should do something else about it, you're also a denier. And again, when it comes to the hurricanes, because this is what happened. I mean, Stevie Wonder did this, right? Stevie Wonder was on stage at this hurricane benefit and tied hurricanes to man-made global warming. We now have 50 years of global hurricane data. There is no trend in the frequency or number of storms that reach hurricane force. This is from the Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Laboratory at NOAA, which I know you want to shut down, NOAA, but listen to them for just a moment. Because I know everybody. I know when I see Pat, a lot of time he just, you know, he'll open up his computer, I'll be standing behind him, and his homepage will open up, and it's almost always the Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Laboratory. So, I mean, I know a lot of you guys.
It's my homepage.
It is your homepage. It's my homepage. You have your. Yeah. When you email Pat, you can email him at pat@geophysicalfluiddynamicslaboratory.net.
There's an ampersand in there. I don't know why. But it's.
It's it says in they this is a report they released not in 1912, not 15 years ago, not 10 years ago, but August 31st of this year as we led up to Hurricane Harvey and Irma.
Pathetic. How old were you August 31st of this year?
The same age I am currently. That's how old, because it was just a few days ago. Okay.
Are you trying to make the case that Stevie Wonder saw this?
I don't think he did see it.
He did not see it.
He didn't see it. You know why? Because he doesn't choose to read the Geophysical Fluid Laboratory, the Dynamics Laboratory material. And it's not one of his main sources. That's why he can't see it.
There may be another reason too. I don't know. Like I have.
This is what they wrote. In summary, neither our model projections for the 21st century nor our analysis of trends in the Atlantic hurricane and tropical storm counts over the past 120 years support the notion that greenhouse gas-induced warming leads to large increases in either tropical storm or overall hurricane numbers in the Atlantic. I don't know. They are saying not only does it not confirm it, it's not consensus. They're saying it does not support the notion.
Period.
Yeah.
And yet, we're the freaks. We're the haters. We're the irresponsible people who deny science.
Yeah. And what do you do like that when there's an investigation going on? Because Al Gore tells you, you have to believe that there's going to be more brutal storms. And these people that keep coming out and saying, oh, well, look, it's obvious. Look at this. Look at these hurricanes. You got both Irma and you got Harvey. It's terrible. Of course, you got to believe global warming. So we believe the last few weeks, but not the last 12 years. It's insane. They will jump through any hoop to prove this right. And because they know if people believe it and people come along on this, and I think the younger generations show real signs that they do believe a lot of these things. And if they believe it, they will be able to control everything. They will be able to control every piece of the economic landscape in the United States of America. Because once you control power, you can do anything. If you can push around industry like that and you can justify any change in regulation based on the idea that global warming has to be solved and we're the only ones that can solve it, man, that's a lot of power. It's the same thing we're seeing with this stuff with Title IX at colleges with these rape accusations. And Betsy DeVos did a speech about this, and she made all these crazy claims about all these, you know, kids who are going through this in college and all these crazy rape accusations. Every one of them that she made happened. All of the crazy stories she made happened. It was because we have accepted, generally speaking, as a society, this idea that 90% of men that go to college are rapists. So because there's a quote-unquote rape culture, you can justify any action. Of course we all want to stop brutal rapes. Of course we do. So you can justify any action, any dismissal of First Amendment rights of due process. Any of that can be dismissed because we have this much larger thing that we have to address, which is a rape culture or global warming, whatever it is. Once you get those things set in motion, you can do anything with them. And that is the plan of the left. I do think there are scientists who believe this could be bad. I do think there's a lot of people who do think that it could be bad. I do think there's some evidence that shows that we have warmed.
But it's not 97%, tell you that.
It's certainly not 97%. Also, Al Gore doesn't care if that's true. He does not care if one scientist believes that this is accurate. He does this because he wants control and to personally enrich himself at this point. But he doesn't. Yes, he probably does believe it, but it's immaterial to what he's doing. He just wants to be able to control large swaths of the United States economy, and not him personally, but his movement.
You know what I think this diatribe of yours is all about?
What?
Jealousy. I think you're jealous that he is talented enough to write something as beautiful as this.
One thin September soon, a floating continent disappears in midnight sun.
Midnight sun.
Vapors rise as fever settles on an acid sea. Neptune's bones dissolve.
Neptune's bones.
Snow glides from the mountain.
Glides.
Ice fathers floods for a season. Hard rain comes quickly. Then dirt is parched. Kindling is placed in the forest for the lightning celebration. Unknown creatures take their leave unmourned.
They've gone extinct.
Horsemen ready their stirrups. Passion seeks heroes and friends. The bell of the city on the hill is rung. The shepherd cries. The hour of choosing has arrived. Here are your tools.
Here are your tools.
That is one of the worst things I've ever heard in my entire life. I cannot believe a person would go on television and say those words in that order that way.
And got praised for it, by the way.
Oh, I mean, to this. Thank
you. I'm so glad you read that. So I was really, I'm very happy.
Thanks for asking me.
Really, I'm happy to hear it.
Thank you for asking me.
And he went home and he wept.
No one's ever asked me to say these words in public before. Thank you.
888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So this week, obviously, was September 11th on Monday. And everyone kind of remembers that it was a clear Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. Every description you always hear of that. But no one remembers, and they probably shouldn't, that Tuesday is also the day that new music gets released.
Oh.
So it was interesting because a bunch of albums came out on 9/11/2001. And you might know that it was not particularly a good day to release your tunes.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So I guess the only one that really was successful on that day was Jay-Z released The Blueprint on 9/11/01, which is kind of a, you know, because I guess that's a historic rap album, which I am not
you
really
qualified. You don't have Jay-Z's Blueprint?
I'm not qualified to judge that, unfortunately. But there were a couple of things that happened on that day. Now, July 25th, 2001, Mariah Carey was hospitalized for exhaustion and a reported nervous breakdown. The day after she was released from the hospital, Virgin Records issued a press release explaining that they would be delaying the original August 25th, 2001 release date of her new CD so that she could be at full strength for her promotional tour. They rescheduled it to September 11th, 2001.
Wow.
Now is this album, now known as The Other Tragedy of 9/11, was Mariah Carey's Glitter. Remember Glitter?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is known as one of the biggest disasters of all time, only defeated about 10 days later when they released the movie called Mariah Carey's Glitter, which is actually, I think, worse than the album. She actually eventually became this was such a disaster that they had paid her $80 million for a contract. Then when they canceled the contract, they paid her $28 million to leave. So that was a real disaster. The other one is really crazy. You remember the band Slayer?
Yeah.
Think of releasing, now they're terrible to me, but think of releasing an album with this name on September 11th, 2001.
They all die.
It was called God Hates Us All.
Yeah, there you go.
Jeez. Yeah.
Okay. Now, God Hates Us All.
So that deserved to die.
It really deserved to die.
Deserved to.
Now, many music stores were a tad apprehensive of the message "God hates us all" on their windows that day. Now, they had a lot of great songs on that. I'm not going to deny it. The touching ballad "Here Comes the Pain."
Okay.
The soaring epic "Darkness of Christ."
Oh, I used to sing that as a lullaby to my kids every night. Yeah.
And remember, think of picture releasing this on September 11th. Your album comes out that you're all proud of. And you have a song titled "God Send Death."
What?
That's the one I used to sing to my kids.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Sadly, the album did not work out particularly well. Their unfortunate CD title was only outdone a few weeks later when the band Anthrax, remember Anthrax in this period, they had to suffer through their band being associated with Tom Daschle. I thought that was actually the real bad part of it. It was associated with Tom Daschle because the Anthrax was sent to Daschle. And then people were tied in their head, oh, Anthrax, that's that Tom Daschle band. And that's when it really fell apart for them.
Yeah, you might as well hang it up then.
The other thing that was interesting is just a few weeks after September 11th, Denzel Washington won for Training Day. They released Training Day. Not a great time to release a movie about dirty cops.
No.
Not the best time.
Glenn Beck.